that P. Sam, our senior pastor, was going to be away. He was going to be in Singapore to preach at our church plant in Singapore because the head pastor of that church is on annual leave right now in the States. And he knew that I had become a brand new father. And so he was convinced that as a brand new father, that I would have revelation upon revelation about the heart of God, the heart of the Father, the love of the Father. And so he said, you're going to preach and you better make it good because it's your first Father's Day sermon. So that's why I'm here. Praise God. And I'm excited to, obviously, to be celebrating Father's Day for the very first time in my life. About 3 months ago, my wife gave birth to a beautiful boy. Actually, two more days from now, and he will have turned 3 months. And I have a picture that I want to show you guys. So that's our son. His name is Joel. Joel Miles Chung. And he's actually a little sick right now. So it's been quite difficult to see him suffer. But yeah, we're very thankful, very excited. Yeah, so cute. They'll be here at third service if you want to stay back and say hi. Many people said to me as we were pregnant and we're getting ready to give birth to our son, a lot of people came to us and said, man, when you become a father, it's going to be life-changing. You know, they would say things like, when we gave birth, just we had so many new revelations about the Father's love, about the Father heart of God, and it was just the greatest moment of their lives. And just recently in February, we had our anniversary revival service, and we had Pastor Eric Lehman come from the States, good friend of Pastor Sam's, and he said to me, when he found out that my wife was pregnant, about to give birth, he said, man, when you go to the hospital on the day your child is born, you're just going to weep. You know, you're just going to be touched and so moved, and you're just going to weep and weep. It's going to be incredible. So I was excited. I was very excited, and you never really know what to expect. But I can tell you that my expectations are set really high. And you know what happens whenever somebody tells you about a movie that they really enjoyed and they tell you that it's the greatest movie of our lifetime, and you go and see that movie and you come out disappointed. You're like, well, that was okay. It wasn't life-changing or, you know, it wasn't transformational. And something like that happened to me after we gave birth to our son. I think my expectation was just too high, and I was waiting for this angelic, you know, visitation to reveal to me the love of the Father, or, you know, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into my ears and showing me about the love of the Father. It didn't happen. Mostly, we were just in survival mode. You know, we're trying to survive. We're trying to take care of this baby and trying to get some sleep and trying to figure out how to do this. Well, my wife is trying to figure out how to breastfeed, and I'm trying to figure out what do I need to do to support my wife through this whole thing. And it was pretty crazy. And if I had any revelation after having our son Joel, is that fatherhood is very difficult. It is very challenging. And I really, really need the grace of God, the help of God to be a good, good father. And, you know, praise God that he is here with us and he's helping us to be a good, good father. As it's 3 months now, so we're getting used to being parents, having Joel with us. And as we are trying to figure out, you know, routines and kind of getting used to this whole new phase of our lives, I'm starting to receive here and there some revelation of God's heart for us. You know, and I think if you're looking for revelation, it doesn't come, because revelation is something that just kind of comes to you when you're not expecting it. You know, and I would hold our son Joel and I'd look at him, and sometimes I feel this intense love, and then I hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, you know, saying, man, that's the love, that's the kind of love I have for you. Especially when he is sick, you know, I hold him in my arms, and I just feel so sorry for him, and you just feel so much love for the child. And then, yeah, you do hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit that comes and says, that's the kind of love I have for you. So it's been good. I've been getting these little revelations here and there. And today I just want to share with you one revelation, and that's going to be the focus of the message. My Father's Day gift to our families in our church is that I don't have a three-point sermon today. I have a one-point sermon. And we're going to fall. Yay. Someone said yay. That's a little too direct. I have a one-point sermon, and I want to share with you this revelation that I received as I have become a father. And it's this. As a father, I want my son Joel to be like me. As a father, I want my son Joel to be like me. Yeah? It happened to me on Thursday morning. I was coming to church, EMP, early in the morning, 6:20, 6:30, and I'm getting on the train from Tongchong to come to Central. And as I'm getting on the train, I happened to notice these two girls, and they were secondary school students. They look very, very young, but they seemed to have, you know, they were in their school uniform. They looked very proper, and they seemed to have a very kind and just a warm and happy demeanor about them. They just seemed like good kids, you know? And I saw them. You know how our mind moves very, very fast? So as soon as I notice them, I just immediately get the first impression, oh, I think they're good kids, kind demeanor. And then immediately my mind turns to Joel, and I think, those are the kinds of girls that I would want my son Joel to marry when he is older. My son's not even 3 months old, and my mind immediately is going to, you know, what kind of a woman is my son going to marry? You know, what kind of girl is he going to date? What kind of girl is he going to be attracted to? And my mind stayed the course, and I kept thinking deeper and deeper, and I began to imagine, what if my son Joel brought home someone that, I mean, I couldn't come up with a better word, but that is just crazy. You know, like, what I mean by that is, and I don't have anything against tattoos necessarily, but I'm just picturing a girl that has tattoos all over her face, you know? And she's got piercings all over her ears and nose and eyebrows and lips and she's got a shaved head. You know what I mean? Like, what if he brings home someone like that? What am I going to do? And I got a little worried, and then and then this realization hit me that what I really want for my Joel is I want him to find someone like his mom. I want Joel to find someone like Mon. And then I began to realize, oh, really what I want for Joel is I want him to be attracted to the same things that I am attracted to. I want him to be like me. I want him to find a spouse like the spouse that I found. You know, I want him to be like me. And I think if you're a parent here, whether you're a father or a mother, you can relate to this. We want our children to reflect us in some way, to resemble us in some way. We want to impart something of ourselves, our character, our personalities, our likes and dislikes upon our children. Before we had Joel, Mon and I would come to church, and we see parents. You know, there's many, many parents, especially in the past 5 years or so, there's such a baby boom in our church with kids left and right. And we talk to parents, and every once in a while, we will talk to a parent that would say something like, oh, my son or my daughter doesn't look like me. He only looks like my wife, or only looks like my husband. And you sense a little bit of sadness or bitterness, you know, like there's a little bit of something there. And Mon and I, we couldn't understand it. We would go home and we would say, oh, I don't understand why they're so upset about the fact that the child doesn't look like the father or the mother. You know, it's just I mean, he's still your son. As long as he's happy, as long as the daughter's healthy, and you would be so happy and overjoyed. But now that we have our own child, I can totally understand where they are coming from, you know? And it's strange because I never thought I would feel this way. But whenever we bring Joel to church and people come up to us and they say, oh, he's so cute, and you know, and by the way, we're so thankful for your support through the whole pregnancy and the birth and all your kind comments on Facebook and the likes on Facebook. So, I mean, we're very thankful that you're in our lives. But people come up to us and they ask the question, oh, who does he look like? And there's a small part of me that tenses up when I hear that question because I'm a little nervous. I want to hear that my son Joel looks like me. But, you know, I play it very cool. I say, oh, you know, some people say he looks like Mon. Some people say he looks like me. But we don't really know. You know, he's too young. We can't tell. But deep inside, there's a part of me that says, man, I want the other person. If the other person says, oh, I think he looks like you, Pastor Nate. I think he looks just like you. Then I'm in that little part of me is very, very happy. Right? And I was talking to Mon. I just wanted to confirm with her. I wanted to see if she felt the same way. And yeah, it's there. Even though it's, I mean, of course, it's not a very, we're not going to be devastated if we, you know, if the son, you know, Mon is not devastated that Joel looks more like me. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we're not devastated by that, but there is a small part of us that want this to be true, and I think it's true. We want our children to resemble us. We want our children to be like us and to carry something of us in them. That's why when Mon was growing up, her father made sure that she learned Taekwondo, because her father, my father-in-law, is a Taekwondo master. He's a Taekwondo instructor, right? And he wanted her to have the same kind of skills and to one day maybe hopefully join the business and also teach Taekwondo. In fact, he taught Taekwondo to all three of his children. Mon, her sister Trish, and her older brother Stephen. And Stephen, back in Australia, he has a daughter now and she's about 2 years old. And he's already saying some stuff on Facebook about how she's going to be the next person to take over his gym, you know, when he grows older, and he's talking about teaching her Taekwondo. That's all because we want our children to be like us in some way. When my father, even though he's never pushed me to be in ministry, he's a pastor, he's a missionary, when he found out that I had finally decided on my own to go into full-time ministry, he was very, very happy. He was very pleased because he knew that I was following after his footsteps, you know, because he knew because he wanted his son to be like him in some way. So I want to connect this revelation to God, our Heavenly Father, right? We read today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that, let me go back to that, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. That's God saying to each and every single one of us, I am your father, and you are my son, and you are my daughter. Right? And that's an incredible truth. And we have talked about this many, many times at church. There are countless verses that talk about how God is our father, that he is our good, good father, that he loves us so much, that he is pleased with us, that he approves of us. And I don't think I need to spend too much time trying to prove to you that God is our father. It's in the Word. It's right there. We read it today. And it is, I believe it's something that each one of us needs to understand and grasp in our hearts. You know, it's the message of the Father heart of God, that he loves us individually just as we are, that we don't have to try and prove ourselves, that he has already affirmed us, and he's already accepted us into his arms, that he is so proud of us just because of who we are. That message of the Father heart of God and the love of the Father, that's something that each one of us needs to know and grasp and understand. In our church, we have many times talked about that, and we've had ministry time after ministry time to pray for people. And I want to encourage you, if that's something that you still are wrestling with, to know your identity in the love of the Father, you should pursue it. You know, you ask God, God, I want to have the revelation of the Father, because that's something that's really set me free from my insecurities, from my anger, from my bitterness. All these things, they are healed and washed away through the love of the Father. And so I encourage you, if you want to learn more about that, go back to our website and go back to 2015 retreat. That's last year's retreat. We had Pastor Benjamin Robinson come, and he spoke on the love of the Father. He did a whole series on it. And for me personally, I don't think I've heard anyone articulate and communicate the love of the Father as well as Pastor Benjamin had last year at the retreat. So I really encourage you to go back there and listen to it. But precisely because we've talked about the Father heart of God so much at church, I had a really hard time discerning and deciding what I was going to speak on today. You know, obviously, I'm a brand new father, and PSAM has laid this expectation on me to say, you're going to have revelation of the love of the Father, and you're going to bring the word on Father's Day. And so I was wrestling. You know, I was asking God and asking myself, am I going to preach, or should I preach another message on the Father heart of God? Haven't we heard enough messages? And there are so many people that have done a much better job than I ever could to talk about the love of the Father. So do I need to preach on that again? And then I thought about, do I need to talk about how to be a father? You know, a message for our fathers to say, this is how to be a good father. But honestly, I just felt unqualified, underqualified. I'm a brand new father. What do I know? All I know is that it's difficult, that I need the grace of God. And so I was wrestling and asking God, God, what can I say? What have you put upon my heart to preach? And I felt the Holy Spirit highlight this one thing. So I just want to share it with you. And I felt like God was saying, as I have been a father to the fatherless, I'm calling you, I'm calling the church to be a father to the fatherless as well. Yeah? As he has been a father to the fatherless, and that's us. We are the fatherless, right? Every single one of us, in some way, we have struggled with the absence of a father. Every single one of us has imperfect fathers. And in some form or another, they disappoint us and they wound us and they hurt us. And we have father wounds, father hunger, and we are the fatherless in that sense. But God has met us. Amen? For many of us, God has met you and he has set you free and he has shown you the love of the Father. And so he has been a father to the fatherless, us. And now he's calling us and he's encouraging us and saying, you know what? On this Father's Day, let's not look inward on how can I receive the love of the Father? How can I be healed? And how can I make sure that my family is a good family, that I'm a good father to my family? But I believe God is calling us to become a father to the fatherless, just as he has been a father to the fatherless to us. In Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. And we have all been the fatherless at some point, and we have received God's love. And just as I desire for my child, my son, to be like me, I believe God the Father wants us to be like him. In his mercy and compassion, in his love, in his pursuit, in his seeking after the people that are needy, that are hurting, that are wounded, that are fatherless. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 36. Luke 6, verse 36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. In other translations, it'll say, be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. That's Jesus telling his disciples and his followers, the multitudes. He's saying, I want you to be merciful. Why? Because your Father is also merciful. I want to tell you a quick story of how we came to name our son Joel Miles Chung, okay? Joel, that was Mon. My wife kind of picked that name, and that was because we just liked it. We liked the sound of the name, and the meaning of Joel is Yahweh is God, right? So we thought, man, that's powerful. We want our son to know that Yahweh is God and to proclaim that Yahweh is God. So we're going to name him Joel. But for the middle name, Miles, because Miles, and if I can be honest, Miles to me sounds like a Caucasian name, like a more Western, you know, like an American or Australian name. It doesn't sound, to me, it didn't feel like a very Asian name. And it's like a cool name. And I was like, I don't know if we're cool enough to name our son Miles. And but how we came to name him Miles was we were in the process of deciding and we were praying and just asking the Holy Spirit to kind of speak to us about naming our son. Because it's difficult. You will know when you have your child that it is not easy to name the child because, you know, in the Bible, we see that names are quite prophetic, right? There's a prophetic nature to us naming our children. And so we felt like it was a significant thing. So we were praying through. And just one day, I felt the Holy Spirit kind of dropped the name Miles. I had never thought of that name ever. It was just not something that we were considering, but the Holy Spirit kind of dropped it in my head, you know? Miles. And I was like, Miles? That's an interesting name. That's too cool for me. I don't know if I can do Miles. But I mean, I looked it up anyway. And when I looked up the name Miles, what it means is it means merciful or gracious, a servant, and mild. And for me, when I saw the name, the meaning merciful and gracious, it hit me, you know? And this is going to sound funny, but why it hit me so much was because I know this sounds really funny when I say this, but I considered myself merciful and gracious. You know, at least that's something that I try to be. I strive to be someone that is merciful and gracious. That's an attribute that is dear to my heart. You know, and of course, I'm not perfectly gracious or merciful, but if I could pick between being aggressive and macho or being merciful and gracious, I would pick merciful. That's more something that I can relate to. And so when I read that, I was like, oh, maybe it's a God thing. Maybe God has given me a name where I can impart something to my son and I want him to be merciful and gracious. So that's how we came up with the name. And so this whole time, until I came upon this passage as I was preparing for this sermon, I thought this name was about me. You know, I want my son to be merciful and gracious like me. But really, the Holy Spirit is showing me and the Word of God is telling me, no, this name Miles, it's about God. It's about our son, hopefully reflecting the mercy of God and the compassion of God, because it says, be merciful like your Father is merciful. And I want to say the same thing to us, you know, that I think Jesus is saying, hey, just as the Father is compassionate and merciful, just as the Father in heaven is a father to the fatherless, I want you to do the same. Show mercy to others. Be compassionate to others. Let's actually read the whole section of that passage, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36. I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Jesus is giving us a way of life that is completely contrary to how we have learned to live our lives, right? We learn to defend ourselves, protect ourselves, and don't let anyone take advantage of us. You know, if someone takes something from you, make sure you go and get it back, right? If someone lends, borrows something from you, make sure you make sure that person returns it back to you in the same condition. You know, and that's how we've learned to live our lives. And Jesus says, no, I want you to be different. Give freely without asking anything in return. And if someone takes it from you, don't demand it back from them. And if basically, if they hurt you, forgive them. If they're your enemy, love them and pray for them and bless them. And that's a radical way of life. But Jesus is saying the rationale for why we should live this kind of a life, he says, that's because the Father, your Heavenly Father, is like that. Your Heavenly Father is the same way. He is merciful to those who are ungrateful and those who are evil. And He's the kind of Father that gives and gives without demanding anything in return. And because you have a Father like that, it is only natural for you as a child of God, as a child of that Father, to do the same. It is natural for you to do the same. As the Father does, so the Son does also. Right? Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Of course, if we're talking about emulating the Father, there are many attributes we could talk about. His holiness, His justice, His mission to the world. But today, being Father's Day, I want to focus on His Father heart, on His nature as a father to the fatherless. And I believe God is saying, hey, just like I am a father to the fatherless, I want you to go and be a father to the fatherless. For some of us sitting here today, this could be a very literal thing, meaning God has put upon your heart to pray about and to consider adoption, right? A few months ago, we had Gary Stevens come. He is the founder of Mother's Choice, which is a ministry here in Hong Kong that takes in young girls that don't want to abort. You know, they're not married. They don't know where to go. They don't want to abort. So they come to this center to get taken care of. They also take in children, handicapped children, and just orphans, and take care of them until they can be adopted by a family. And, you know, I think, honestly, for many of us, when you hear about adoption, immediately we just dismiss it. We just think, that's not for us. Adoption, that's cool, but we just kind of have this attitude of, no way, we're not ready, we can't adopt. And I want you to stop first and ask the Holy Spirit and say, God, are you asking us to do something about this? Because why not? Right? Because why wouldn't God ask you, His child, to do something like this? Because this is something that is heavy on His heart. Right? This is something that is significantly important on His heart. And there are I don't know the statistics, but there are many, 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 many orphans that need the love of the Father, love of a family. And I believe some of us here, the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and that's something that the Holy Spirit has been convicting us as well. And it is scary for us. It's scary for us to consider adoption. We don't know if we can do it, you know, just for whatever reason. It just seems like a very difficult thing, but we're praying and we are asking the Holy Spirit, you know, can we do this? And if we could, you know, I would love to. be able to do it. But for most of us, we can interpret the term fatherless in a symbolic way. Basically, just people in our lives that you can see that are hurting, you know, that are wounded, that are suffering and struggling with just thoughts of insecurity and difficulty in their lives. We talked about in our church, last year we talked about the orphan heart, right? The orphan spirit, and how some people walk around, even in the church, like orphans, right? And how we need to not be an orphan, we need to walk in sonship. We talked about that, but what is the first step for an orphan to come out of their orphan mindset? That orphan first needs to be adopted, right? That orphan first of all needs to be embraced by a father to be received and loved upon. That's how the healing process begins. So I'm asking us, and I believe God is asking us, can we be the ones to offer this kind of love and affirmation and embrace, whether it's to a church member or to a coworker or to a friend in your life? So obviously, I'm not talking about being a literal father, okay? I know some of us are actual fathers. Some of us are single, and some of us are women, and you're not going to be a literal father to anyone. But if we talk about representing the father, right, extending the love and compassion of the father, then anyone can do it. Right? In a symbolic way, you can be a father to the fatherless just as God has been a father to you. If I had a daughter, I would want my daughter to be the same, to have the graciousness and the mercy and the compassion, the same way that I would want Joel to have that, I would want my daughter to have that. I was going to say that if I had a daughter, maybe I would have named her Miley, because, you know, Miles, Miley, the same meaning. And then I realized, oh, there's a really crazy singer named Miley Cyrus. I thought, oh, maybe I probably won't name her Miley, but maybe, anyway, the whole point is I would want the same thing. Whether I had a son or a daughter, I would want my daughter to reflect me in some way, to be like me in some way. And I believe whether you're a man or a woman, whether you have a family or not, whether you are married or single, God is asking you to represent the love of the Father to people in your life that are fatherless, that are wounded, that are struggling with their identity, and that are just hurting. The youth group is here with us today, and I know many of you, your friends, are going through tough times. They're depressed, and see, you guys have such a connection to them that that adults will not be able to connect with them in that level. And so I want you guys, I know you're young, but you can take this calling to be a father, right? I'm not saying you are going to be your friend's father, right? But you're going to extend the love of the Father, the love that you have received and experienced through your relationship with God. And you take that to your friends, and you extend that to your friends, and you show them that there is a different way, that they don't have to, whatever, be depressed or cut themselves, or, you know, some of the youth in Hong Kong are contemplating suicide. So you show them another way. You extend the love of the Father in the same way. God is our ultimate Father, but we can be a conduit through which our friends, our coworkers, a friend in the church can experience the love of our true Father. Investing into people's lives, speaking truth to them, spending time with them, getting to know them. I just want to end with one personal story. When I was in university, I came across a book. One of my good friends gave me a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son, and it is by Henry Nouwen. And Henry Nouwen is he's passed away now, and I don't know if I would necessarily recommend all of his books. Some of his later works, it really sounds like maybe he had lost his way, or he'd become a universalist, you know, just kind of saying everyone can come to to God through whichever way possible. But if you just read The Return of the Prodigal Son, you wouldn't see any of that. I mean, that just seems like an evangelical Christian book talking about the love of the Father. And so when I read that, I was so blessed. I just want to share with you a little bit. He says, it's his reflections upon seeing a painting by Rembrandt by the same title, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And you see the father embracing the younger son, and you see the older son in the background. And he was so struck by the painting, and he was asking God to speak to him through this painting. And basically, Henry Nouwen saw himself in all three of the principal characters, the younger son. Right? He said, in some ways, I am like the younger son. I am constantly turning to different things to find my fulfillment, to find that affirmation, to find that approval. And I turn to sex and entertainment and whatnot, all these other things, and I need to return to the Father. I need to receive and know that there's no one else I can turn to. No one else is going to satisfy this Father hunger other than the presence of the true Father. And he saw himself also in the older son, who really just had a lot of resentment. He stayed with the father, but he never truly knew the love of the father. He felt like he had to perform all the time. And so he was resentful and angry. And he said he saw himself in that as well, that he needed to actually receive the affirmation and the approval of the father instead of trying to earn it and feeling so burdened and resentful and bitter toward God for how difficult it is to be in his presence. But then the last one he realized was God was not just calling him to come out of being a younger son and to come out of being an older son, but God was calling him to become a father. Henry Nouwen, he used to be... I think he used to be a professor or something, like quite a prominent figure, but he gave it all up to go live in a community of handicapped people called the L'Arche community. And he gave it all up just to be a volunteer there. And he says in his book, you know, if I'm in the community of people that are mentally challenged, physically challenged, my qualifications don't impress any of them. The fact that I studied at a certain university and I taught at a certain university and I have this award and that award and I'm a bestseller, you know, author of many, many books, none of that impresses these people. They don't even understand it. They just want me to come and be with them and love them and forgive them and extend generosity to them. And that's what it means for us to be a father. You know, for us to extend the love of the Father that God has given to us is we need to learn to offer God's love to other people. People around you, people within the church that you can see that that are struggling, that you would offer something to them. So in this time, I just want to invite Andrew up and Verity, and they're going to sing us a song that we're just going to sing, I Have a Maker, again. But as they sing over us, I just want us to, let's just close our eyes and let's just go before the Holy Spirit. And I want to invite you to just listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this time. First of all, ask the Father to minister to you, right? Ask the Father through the song to minister to you and to show you that he is your good Father, that you have a maker in him, you have a Father in him, and he knows you, and he will never leave you, and he cares for you. And then secondly, ask the Holy Spirit and say, God, would you show me where I can extend the love of the Father to, you know? Who is the fatherless in my life where you're calling me to go and offer the same kind of love to them that I have received from you? And on this Father's Day, Let's not just celebrate our own family. Let's not just look inwardly, but let's look outward and say, and just ask the Holy Spirit, God, is there anyone in my life that I can touch with the love of the Father? Let's rise together. Let's sing this song as a worship unto God. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, would you show us at this time who it is, God, you are highlighting in our lives, God, to extend, to be an extension of the Father. Just as you see our tears and you hear us when we call and you are such a gracious Father, help us, God, to not just stop there, but we are blessed to be a blessing, God. We have received so much from you. Freely you have received, now freely give. I pray that we'll be able to give this kind of love to the people in our lives, God, whether it's in the house church, maybe it's someone in the workplace, God, maybe it's someone in our family, in our school. I pray that you will highlight people in our lives, God, that we would carry the heart of a father, God, that we would carry this heart of compassion and mercy just as you do. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you and we bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom from this day forward. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Father's Day today. And we will see some of you at EMP on Tuesday. Amen. Or Monday morning, men's prayer and women's prayer. Amen.